Tav that Rabbi Yochanan said that there are three cases that there's enough of a rife, majority chance that it's the woman is Tamei, so we make her Tamei Vadai, and we're willing to burn Truma based on this, even though we're not 100% sure, but there's enough rife, majority chances, and we therefore make it Tamei Vadai. So he said it's only through in three cases. So now our problem is we have many more cases where we burn Truma on a Reiv. So why is Rabbi Yochanan limiting it to three cases? So the first case we're going to bring is the famous story of Teisha Chanuyas. And this is built on a halacha l'maish mitzinai or a pasuk. It's not clear. Pashtus in the Gemara in Subas, it says it's a pasuk according to one mandiyamar. According to the other mandiyamar, it seems to be a halacha l'maish mitzinai that says that kavua is kemechta mechta. Anytime you have a suffix in its place where they're all together, we say treat it like a 50-50. And if it's found in a street on the side, we say, then we go by Reiv. This is the rule. Usually go by Reiv. But there's a Xeris HaKosim called Kavua, is Kamechta Mechta Dami. Anything that's Kavua is considered 50-50. That's the halacha. So now we have this story. Zog de Brai de Tanya. Teisha Chanuyas Kula Moichus Basu Shkuta. There are nine stores that sell kosher meat. Miachas Mecheres Bas in the Vela, and one sells trefa meat. The Logach Miachas Meham, the guy walked into a store. Ve'eni Yedei Meizim Em Lokach, and he doesn't know which store he walked into. So the Loch is Sveika Yasser. It's Yasser. Because this is called Kavua. It's called Kavua Kamechta Mechta. We look at it as a 50-50 Suffolk Deraisa, and he has to be Machmer. Benimtza, he finds the street, he finds a piece of meat in the street. Halach Acher Reiv. Now, I want
to... You
said meat. Oh, like every other tray of meat, you sell it. It's not Asabana. Now, Ubenimtza, Halach Acher Reiv. But if you find a piece of meat in the street, he can eat it. Now, what, one second, before we move on, why is this true? They're both the same suffix. Is this meat kosher? Is this meat treif? The answer is, the Halach L'maish Mishina, or the Pasuk tells us, that we decide this halacha based on when did the man come in contact with the suffix. When did he have the suffix? Is his first contact with the item in a makim kviyas, or is his first contact with the item away from its makim kviyas? Did you have it in the store? Because you don't remember which store you walked into it, but the suffix starts store, place of kviyas, or does the suffix start on the street, which is not its makim kviyas? So therefore, there's a different halacha. There's no logic to this. It's the same 9-to-1 odds. 9-to-1 on stores, 9-to-1 on finding the piece of meat in the street. The same 9-to-1 odds. But the halacha, the Maishim Sinai says, Kol Kavuas Kamechta Mechta Dami. I'll give a similar case before I entertain any questions. You have 10 people standing together, right? One yid and 9 goyim. And you throw a rock and hit the yid and kill him. Going to one on the Amar, Yechai Misa. Because it's 9-to-1 that you would have hit a guy. Doesn't make a difference. They're standing there in the place of Kvias, and therefore we treat it like 50-50. Even by 50-50, we would make questions, they get killed, but we consider it make. Mashain Kane, by if you one person is standing alone that moved away from these 10 people, and you aimed at him, we say it's for sure a guy. Because 9 out of 10 is into guy. This is the halacha. Or the opposite way is even more bigger chodesh. You have 9 yidden and 1 guy. And you throw the rock in and it hits a guy, a yid. You putter. Because it's 50-50. Even though there's 9-to-1. Kol kavua kamechta mechta dami. We view it as a 50-50. However, if one of them walks away and you shoot at him, then you're chayim misa because we say probably it was from the 9. This is a xeris hakasav. Is the suffix start in its place of kviyas? It's 50-50. L'chumra and l'kula. And if the suffix starts when it's away from its kviyas, then we go by majority. But we see clearly here that we go by majority. And Rabbi Yochanan said, we were only talking in 3 cases that we go by majority. We see we go by majority here. That's the Gemara's kasha. Yes, doctor.
I... One of the things you said was correct, and one of the things was incorrect. The talking about the place of theaters is absolutely statistically correct. First, when you first said this is finding it in the street, finding it in the store, were statistically the same as completely incorrect. One is pre-facto, the other is post-facto. It's the plainclothes.
I'm not even going to discuss it because it makes no difference to me. All I know is it's 9 to 1 either way.
No, it's not. At the point where you pick up the needs in the store, whatever the store is, it's 100% versus 0%. Whether or not you forget what store that is, does not affect the certainty of when it was picked up initially. As opposed to in the street where it's 9 to 1.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but it makes no difference. And I walk up because I just gave you the case of the 10 people together.
I know the case of the 10 people. I'm aware of that.
Right. And that's considered kavua. And the other place, when they walk away, it's considered nimtza.
People move.
Again, it's considered kavua. Again, I'll say it one more time. In halacha, it's considered kavua. You can tell me all the svaras in the world. The chazal consider...
I'm not disagreeing with your conclusion. I'm disagreeing with your statement. But
could be. All I know is... All I know is Chazal sees them the same.
That may be the case, but it's not the same as the
priest. I'm not going to argue this, because if Chazal sees them the same, that means halachically they're the same.
What's the kavua here? I missed it. Is it the praise door?
I can't hear you.
Is it the praise door that's called kavua?
Nothing to do with the praise door. Who said any word about praise door?
I thought we were talking about the tumah.
Rabbi Eichelin said there's only three cases that we burn truma because of tameh. That means we only go three cases that we go by raiv. In fact, the Gemara, it's not true. There are more cases that you go by raiv.
Oh, okay. I missed it. Okay.
Yes, Rabbi Feitel. I can't hear you.
How can the guy be Chai Misa on a 50-50 suffix?
I said that he wouldn't be Chai Misa in that case, but the other case would be he would be Pater from Misa. And the Gemara says what you said. The Gemara Sivet says if there are nine Yidden and one guy, and they're together in Kvias and he throws it in, he's Pater from Misa, even though it's 9 to 1 Yidden, because it's like 50-50 and he's Pater from Misa. So the Gemara, and for the Gemara, Tumah Kamina, Isseloi Kamina. Rabbi Yechida said there's three cases of Tumah that we burn Truma. The case of the nine stores, and the one store is not Tumah. Rabbi Yechida never said we don't go Basar Roiv only in three cases. He said only in three cases do we make something Vadai Tameh. Nothing to do with any other case of Isser. What happened was there's nine frogs and one sheretz. Sheretz is one of the eight tzratzim, right? And a dead tzvardeya is tohar. A dead sheretz is tamei. And he touched one of them. They're all together. 9 to 1 that it's okay. And he touched one of them, which was a yogurt sveka tummy. We treat it like a 50-50 suffix. And the rule of tummy is that if it's in a private area with less than three people there, we treat it tummy, which was a rabbin sveka tar. If it happens in a public area, it's tar. Menimsa, if you find one of them, they scattered. They were scattered. And he touches one of them. Halachakar arrives. We go by rive, and we say that it's not tummy. Right, so here we have a case that by Tumah we go by Rive, meaning if there were nine Shratzim and one Tzvardeya, again, if it would be scattered, we would say he's Tameh, and we would burn Truma. So here we are having a case of Tumah that we go by Rive. Because Benim Tzolachach are Rive, either way. That means we're willing to burn Truma. Rabbi Yechon said only three cases. Here I have a fourth case. And for the Gemara, Tumah the Isha Kamina. Truma, in case somebody touches Truma after he touched. There were nine Shratzim and one Svardeya, and they were scattered, and he touched one of them, we would burn Truma. And for the Gemara, Tumah the Isha coming on, Tumah the Amaloi coming on. Rabbi Yechon was talking about a specific case when a woman becomes Tumah. Right? All three cases had to do with a woman, either Nida or birth. So he said there's three cases that we would burn Truma based on a rite. And then my other cases about Tumah, nothing to do with a woman, the natural woman's nidra or birth, and therefore he wasn't talking about that. Therefore, there was no limitation. Rashi. Zot Rashi, Sveiko Yasser. Rashi's about 9 lines in the bottom. Sveiko Yasser, the whole Kavu Kamechta Mechtudami. Anything that's in his setting is considered 50-50. The Kibin Shalokam Yimokam Hakvius. Mechtakino no Kamechta Mechtu, we treat it like 50-50. Benimta, the Karka. The Havale Mufresh Mehem, it's separated from the stores. Beloidlokam Yimokam Hakvius. He didn't buy it from its set place. Everything that separates, we say, came from the majority. Even though a majority of frogs that don't have tuma, even the sherets, since they were together, is considered 50-50. One went to a different place. When Naga by Adam Sham, and the person touched their tar, the Hashnalav Kabuahavi. Raminan called the parish Meruba parish, Svadeyahu. He said it left the majority and it's a frog. So we see Yigobas arrive in other cases. So why is Reb Yochanan limiting it to 3 cases? The Gemara answered he was talking about a tomb of a woman. Frag the Gemara Beika. There's another case. Hadam Rabbi Shua ben Levi, of Rabbi Nor be Pilah. Mevia carbon benechal. The woman went through a river and she miscarried. And we have no idea whether it was a baby sack, a baby, or a fetal air sack. She had a miscarriage down the river and nobody knows what she miscarried. Now, Raiv tells us that it probably was a baby. But we're not sure. Mevia carbon, she brings a carbon for her birth. Benechal, we can eat it. I'll explain that. Why? I'll get back to this. Halachah Raiv Nashim. Raiv Nashim. Vlad Mal Yoldan. You go by Raiv, that it was a baby, and therefore she can bring a carbon. So we see clearly, here's another case of a woman. We're going by Raiv, bringing a carbon. We would never do if there's any doubt. You don't bring a carbon if it's out, even though I'm going to change that in a second. But right, she's bringing a carbon. And for the Gemara, Masnitzin Kamina, Shemaita Lord Kamina. Rabbi Yechle meant there's only 3 cases in Mishnahs and Brises. This is a halacha of Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Rabbi Yechle is not responsible for Rabbi Shua ben Levi's halachas. All he said was, I know 3 Brises and Mishnahs that we burned Truma by a woman based on Raiv. Ah, you have a 4th case of Rabbi Shua ben Levi? That's wonderful. But that is a statement of an Amira. Not a Braisa. Even though Rabbi Shua ben Levi is the only Amira that's mentioned in Mishnayos. If that's a Mishnah. The last Mishnah in Shas, Rabbi Shua ben Levi, also HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Hanukh Kol Chazit V'Tzadik Shai Olamas, is Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Now we consider that the last Mishnah in Shas. He's the only Amira that makes it there. The Gemara never says on him he's a Tana. But he is there. He's the one that's there. But still, this is a statement, not a Braisa. Never Rabbi Yechanan said, I know 3 cases. Now, I want to explain something here. Where we're bringing a carbon for later, for birth. We're considering it a vadai birth. This is a woman tuma issue. Now, I want to explain something here because this is important to understand the Gemara. What does the Gemara mean she brings a carbon and it's eaten? Let me explain. When a woman gives birth, she brings a chatas and an oila. She's poor, she brings a chatas a'if and an oila a'if. 2 birds. One is a chatas oif, one is an eilis oif. Now, the halacha is, chatas oif, the way you eilis oif is completely burnt on the mizbeach. Chatas oif is eaten by the kahanim. Now, the way you process chatas oif and eilis oif is by malika, meaning there's no shechita done. The kohen kills the bird with his nail going through the back of the neck. This is what the Torah wants done by a bird carbon. You don't kill it by shechita. You kill it by malika. You don't shecht it. You use the kain, uses his nail, drives through the back of the animal, back of the bird, and cuts the trachea or esophagus from the backside. We consider that nevela. If you did that at home, you would not be able to eat the meat. By kachim, the Rebbeinu Shem told the Kohanim to eat it. Now here's a lady, let's say she doesn't know whether she gave birth to a baby or an air sac. And let's say she has a 50-50 suffix. So she can bring a carbon chatzis, she can bring it, but it's not eaten. Because since we're not sure whether it was a birth or not, we say, you can bring the chatzis, nothing wrong in bringing it, but the kohanim can't eat it. They can only eat it if it was a definite birth. I'll say in a second, I'll tell you why. So again, if it's a suffix birth, she can bring it, but it can't be eaten. If it's a Vadai birth, she can bring it, and it's eaten. I hear this woman is walking through the river, and she has a miscarriage. If Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi would have just said she brings the bird, it would not have proven that it's a Vadai birth. It would only have proven that it might have been a birth. But we're trying to prove from Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi that he considers it a Vadai because it goes by Rav. So that's why this is very important. He says, Mevi'a carbon, v'nechal. It can be eaten. The fact that we let the Kehanim eat it is that we consider it a Vadai birth. That's why that word becomes very important. Meaning, the fact that she can bring the Chatzisayif does not prove a Vadai birth. All that proves is that it might have been a birth. Because Chatzisayif is the only carbon, one of the two, that a person can bring without knowing for sure. Right? They can bring a Chatzisayif, but it's not eaten. But if you know for sure, then it's eaten. And here Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi said this woman walked by the river and she miscarried, and he lets the kohen eat it. We're talking about Nevela here. And he says she can eat it. That means he considers it a Vadai birth.
Only
Chatzisayif. The only carbon. So any woman that can't. Okay, so let me step back. That's a good question. The answer is, what happens to a rich woman that doesn't know whether she had a baby or not? She can't bring an animal or suffix. So she brings a bird. She's treated like a poor woman. Because she has to bring a carbon. She can't bring an animal because she's not sure. So, in truth, if she knows she has a baby, she wouldn't be able to bring a bird because she's rich. I mean, rich means she can afford it. Right, but now that she doesn't know if she had a baby, she has no other option, so she brings a bird. So now, here, Rabbi Shulman Levi says, v'nechal, key word. That's how we know that we go, he considers it a vadai. So the question of Rabbi Yechanan is, you said three cases, we have a fourth. So the answer Rabbi Yechanan gives is, the Gemara gives is, Rabbi Yechanan saying, from Mishnahs and Brises, he never said it from statements of Amaroim. Rashi. So Trashi V. Pila, Vang Yadua in Vladu, Venecho, Chatasoib Shlo Necheles. Her Chatasoib can be eaten. Veloyam meaning on a Suffolk Boa Vain and Necheles. Trashi speaks it out. We don't say it comes on a Suffolk and therefore can't be eaten the Dome of Lav Vladu, the Chulin Melukenheim. If it's not a Vlad, it's Chulin and it's with Malika. A Malika school in Nevela, and that would be considered Nevela. Right? The Torah allows, it's a very interesting thing, because if you didn't have a baby, this is Chulin. And usually we say, you're not allowed to bring Chulin into the Azarat. But here the Torah said, let her bring it. Let her do Malika. Let her sprinkle the blood. Let them sprinkle the blood on the Mizbeach. No other part goes on the Mizbeach except the blood. Now usually we give the Kohanim the meat and tell them, go eat it. In this case, we say, Kohanim, you can't eat it. It might not be a carbon. Even though we just like to sprinkle the blood on the Mizbeach. But this is an exception to the rule.
Rabbi, whenever we say Ola Sa'of, like Lamashal, when we did Nazir, we learned all kinds of cases, Ola Sa'of, was that also mean Chatas that was not eaten at that time? Or only Ola Sa'of?
There's two kinds of birds that can be bought as a carbon. Eilasayif and Chatasayif. They're processed totally differently. I shouldn't say totally differently. There are four differences in Masechtas Vachem between the process of a Chatasayif and the process of an Eilasayif. Eilat Zayiv is always burnt at the Mizbeach completely, even if it's a Vaday Chiyav. Chatas Zayiv,
yeah,
sprinkled the blood of the Mizbeach, and the Kaharim eat it, even though it was Malika, which we at home would consider Nevela. But that's only if it was a definite Chiyav, not if it's a Sabbat Chiyav.
But it's part of the lady's process for Leda, only. But I'm saying, like, when we said, like, Nazir, that never brings a Chatas Oaf.
Again, you want me to review Mitzvah Nazir? No, I'm trying to figure out what you want to know. But
no, we always learn.
Again, when the Gemara mentions Eilat Zayiv, it means Eilat Zayiv. When the Gemara mentions Chatas Zayiv, it means Chatas Zayiv. Some bring two.
Okay, good. I just don't want to make sure that I wasn't confused. Okay, thank you.
Shemaitza, Rabbi Shua ben Levi Amayrahu, Ushlaisha, Mechaimus, Dam Rabbi Yechanan, Mishnah Brightus, is a Mishnah and Brightus. Okay, now we're going to have a very interesting Gemara. It's two lines, three lines. And Rashi says, wait for the explanation until 10 blocks from now, or till, 10 blocks from now. 10 and a half blocks from now.
Is that going to make us wait?
So that's the question. Should I explain it or make you wait? I struggled with this. The reason I struggle with this is because it's obviously Rashi didn't feel it was important enough to explain it here. He said, you can wait 10 and a half blocks, you'll see it there. I will mention it once, try to explain it once. I'm not going to harp on it, and it's not going to be on the test. And I just can't, I feel bad going through it, but Rashi didn't feel bad.
He said, wait through the bottom like quick.
What?
It went to that much quicker. They could have gotten there.
Rashi could have gotten there. In Rashi's case, he got there 15 minutes later. I got it. He didn't have to learn Rashi, by the way. Rashi never had to learn Rashi. He just read Gemara. He also didn't have time to study China. You know what I mean? Dr. Gemara. Nothing written down, but I mean, he must have had notes from his Rebbeim. Dr. Gemara. Masir Rebbe Yaisi by Rebbe Chanina Taya. He asked on Rabbi Shua ben Levi from a brisa of Taya. And he wanted to prove Rabbi Shua ben Levi wrong, who said that we assume a baby whenever we have a suffix. And then the Gemara answered, B'lo yadana mai tshuvta. And we don't get the question. My love, doesn't that mean loy tshuvta l'siyata? That we turned the brisa around from being a question to being a proof. So there is a brisa that says, like Rabbi Shua ben Levi, so Rabbi Yochanan should have counted it as case number four. The Gemara there brings Rabbi Shua ben Levi, who just said that when a babe woman has a pregnancy, and then she doesn't know whether it's an air sac or a baby, assume it's a baby, and the Gemara wants to slug him up, and then the Gemara says, no, it's not a slug up. So the Gemara understands that to mean it's a proof to him. So we have a brisa that says it's halacha. So we're back to Rabbi Yochanan. Why didn't you count it in the fourth case? Again, Rabbi Shua ben Levi said a woman walks through a river and she has a miscarriage. A woman walks through a river and she has a miscarriage. We assume it's a baby. So we asked, why didn't Rabbi Yochanan list it? The answer is because it's not a brisa. I have a brisa that supports Rabbi Shua ben Levi. So it is a brisa. That's the Gemara's question. Now, how do I have the brisa? Because the Gemara wants to use this brisa as a questioner of Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Then the
this
statement that he just said, it was the statement we learned. A woman walked through a river and had a baby, had a miscarriage, we don't know what, we assume it's a baby. So we answered, Rabbi Yochanan didn't have to count that because it's an Avaira. But we have a brisa that said the same thing. So that he should have counted. Now, we don't have a brisa that does the same thing. But the brisa there was used to ask a question on him. And the answer was, not a question. So the Gemara understands, it's not a question, but it's a proof. So there is a brisa that says like him. So how can you tell me Rabbi Yochanan didn't count it because it's not a brisa, when there is a brisa that way? Because the Gemara is assuming that once it's not a question, it's a proof. And if it's approved, that means we have a bride that says like him. That means Rabbi Yochanan should have listed it.
It's a proof, but it's not from a bride.
Yes, it is. If we're turning the bride around, instead of being a kasha, Rabbi Shua ben Levi, the Gemara answers there, no, it's not a kasha. Shua ben Levi said a statement. We ask a kasha from a bride. The Gemara says, no, it's not a kasha. we understand now that the Gemara is answering, it's not a kasha, but opposite, it's a proof to him. If it's a proof to him, that means we have a brice that it set him. If it's a brice that set him, Rabbi Yechon should have listed it. That's the Gemara's kasha here. Without knowing what that brice is, without knowing what it's talking about, all we know is that the Gemara wanted to slug up Rabbi Shulman Levi, and the Gemara answered, no, it's not. And the Gemara here assumes that if it's not a negative, it's a positive. And if it's a positive, then we have a brisa. So back to Rabbi Yochanan, why didn't you count it? And for the Gemara, no, we're not saying there that if it's not a kasha, it's a positive. It's no question, it's no proof. We didn't answer there that it proves Rabbi Shulman Levi. We answered there that it's not a question on Rabbi Shulman Levi. That's all we said there. Now I want to read Rashi. Because Rashi, because the Rav in the Pergam Apelles, Masi Rabbi Yosef B'Chanina and Rabbi Shulman Levi, Masnisa Chada, one Miss Brysa, the Mayri B'Isha Taya, Flo Yoda, Yoda Amos Yoda, the case of a woman that's mistaken, she doesn't know when she gave birth, Vasim Tani Law, and there it says it, Become a Rav and Mayadana Maychufta, Rabbi Yosef, the Lav Chufti, and Rabbi Rabban says, I don't see the question, it's not a question, Vasim Mephar Steima, and Rashi says, you want to know what it's talking about? He explains it over there. My love, how can you come around? So I must need some love to you, Rabbi Yeshua. It's not a question, it's a proof to him. Alma, must need some number to Rabbi Yeshua. The Ashkechon Abba Mekaymas, the Tumas Nashim, the Masnitsin and Abraisa, so Allah arrived. If it's a proof to Rabbi Yeshua Malevi, that means there's a Abraisa that way, that means there's a fourth case. The Kashim Rabbi Yechelen, the Kashim Elatlas. So it's a question, Rabbi Yechelen, that only counted three. And the answer is, no, it's not a proof to Rabbi Shulman Levi. It's not a kasha to him, but it's not a proof. Yes?
Alternatively, don't we have a rule that none of the Amoraim were expected to know?
That's true. That would have been a possible answer to answer. But the Gemara has a better answer.
Yes,
that's definitely a possible answer. Yes. We only use that when we have no other answer.
That's what I figured.
Okay, ready? Does Artsko have a law? I want to know if Artsko went out of his way to teach you this. Does he explain the case there?
Below 29.8.
So he also didn't explain the case. Smart man. Okay, I'm going to tell you the case quick. Okay. What?
Rabbi Einhorn.
Thank you. I call him Rabbi Einhorn Artsko anyway.
I'm aware of that.
Okay. The Gemara's case is as follows. A woman came in and she said, I was pregnant. I have no idea. I have total amnesia. I don't know when I gave birth. I don't know to what I gave birth. All I know is we knew she was pregnant. She left town. She was pregnant, visibly pregnant. She comes back. Okay, I'll make this up. 2 months later, total amnesia. No idea when she miscarried. No idea. There's no baby. She was pregnant and she's not. And now listen, for the next 3 weeks, she doesn't see any dam. Okay, she arrives on Aleph Nisan, back from her journey. She has no idea. She has total amnesia. We know she was pregnant when she left 2 months ago. We know now she's not pregnant. We ask her what happened. The clue. From Aleph Nisan for 3 weeks, she sees no dam. On week 4, she sees dam. On week 5, she sees no dam. On week 6, she sees dam. On week 7, she sees no dam. On week 8, she sees dam. On week 9, she sees no dam. On week 10, she sees dam. That's the case over there in the Gemara. 1 week on, 1 week off. But the first 3 weeks, not at all. When is she mutter to her husband? At what point do we say she's allowed to have a relationship with her husband? Now, she walks in on Aleph Nisan, we say, she can't have a relationship with her husband because maybe she gave birth this morning to a boy. And if she gave birth to a boy, she's coming 7 days with or without blood. Okay, that rules out week 1. When we get to week 2, we said maybe she gave birth to a girl. And if she gave birth to a girl, she's coming for 2 weeks, regardless of blood or not. Then we get to week 3. Now, by week three, she's taking care of boy and girl. No, she didn't. Because maybe she was a zava before she gave birth. She had seen 3 days before. And if she saw 3 days before birth, was not a, you know, without pain of labor, she's a yeledet b'zayin. She needs 7 clean days after the later days. But so that's the third week. So now we get to the fourth week. She's seeing dam. She might be a nida. So the Gemara says, why? If Rabbi Shua Malevi is right, that she gave birth for sure to a baby, week four is the days of Tara. Even if she sees dam, she either had a boy or a girl, and now she's within her days of Tara. The blood shouldn't bother us. And the Gemara says the blood does bother us. We say she might be a nida. Why is she in Nida? We're sure she had a baby. Now, if you don't agree with Rabbi Shua Malevi, we say maybe it was an air sac. Maybe she never was, never had Leda. So there's no days of Tara.
Is it days of Tumah?
Well, she sees Dam, she's in Nida. But if you hold on Rabbi Shua Malevi, right, then it's days of Tara. So she should be Mutter. That's the kash of Rabbi Shua Malevi there.
Why is she mutter?
Why is she usher? Why is she usher during week four?
Because
you're
assuming she had a baby.
Rabbi Shua Malevi said, we assumed she had a baby. Is that what he said? She went into the river, we assumed she had a baby. This lady came, left pregnant, came back not pregnant, we assumed she had a baby. So now she has Dimei Tara. So if she has Dimei Tara, she should be mutter to her husband during week four. That's the kasha on Rabbi Shua Malevi. And for the Gemara, that the reason she's not mutter is because who said she had the baby the day she arrived? Maybe she had it 7 weeks earlier, and she's past days of Tara. So we can't give her days of Tara, because we don't know. Rabbi Shua Malevi is right. She definitely had a baby. She most definitely had a baby. But we don't know when. If she had it 7 weeks before, she's past days of Tara. So therefore, we have to say she's coming. That's the Gemara there. So the Gemara asked Rabbi Raisan, Rabbi Shua Malevi, and the Gemara answered it. So the Gemara's assumption is if we answer it, that means we're saying the Brice is supportive of him. And if it's supportive of him, then we have a Brice that it said like him, and Rabbi Yechonin should have listed it. And the answer is we never said the Brice is supportive of him. All we said is that the Brice doesn't ask a question of him. You don't have to learn like that in the Braisa. You can learn in the Braisa not like Rabbi Shua Malevi. So therefore, it doesn't support him. So you can't ask him, Rabbi Yechonin, then why didn't he list it? So Rashi felt, you don't have to know the case. All you have to know is that the Gemara had a kasha on the Braisa, and the Gemara answered that it, either it's supportive or not supportive, nothing. Again, I'll review the case one more time. So if anybody wants to know the case, Rashi doesn't think it's important. In Rabbeinu Art School, also only mentions it very fleetingly, which is what I'm doing. And if you want to know, it's not an option. It's a letter on Chabtas, but I don't know if you'll get to know it. Again, a woman came, left pregnant. She comes back. I made up 2 months ago. Let's say 5 weeks ago. I don't care when it is. And she comes back, and she's not pregnant. We say to her, what happened? I have no clue. When did it happen? No clue. No clue. Total amnesia. So now what do we do? She doesn't see Dom the first 3 weeks. No Dom. So the first week we say she might have just given birth to a boy. She's Tame with blood or without blood. Second week we say she might have given birth to a girl. Tame with blood, without blood. The third week we say she needs 7 clean days. She might have been a Zava. She doesn't remember a thing. So we say she needs 7 clean days. Now she's finished with that. And now in the fourth week she sees. So we say she might be a Nida. So the question is, what do you mean? If she gave birth, isn't she in the days of Tara? Rabbi Shua Malevi said, assumed that it was a viable baby. There wasn't an air sac. That's the Gemara's kasha, Rabbi Shua Malevi. The Gemara answers, yeah, if she gave birth. We don't know when. Why are you assuming she gave birth the last day? Maybe she gave birth 7 weeks earlier. And then she wouldn't be in days of Tara. So therefore, we have to be machmir Anita. That's the Gemara there. So the Gemara there asked Rabbi Shua Malevi, and Rabbi Yechonin said, it's not a question. So we understood Rabbi Yechonin is saying it's supportive of Rishu and Levi. The answer is no, it's not. It's not supportive. It's not a kasha. So therefore, it's not a kasha on Rabbi Yechonin.
Because you don't know the exact case.
No, but the Brisa didn't tell me why she can't live with her husband day week four. The Brisa never told me the reason. You can answer that it's because she might have. You can answer not that way. We don't know. So fine. We're finished finding questions on Rabbi Yechonin that there are more cases. We tried and we got out of it. Yes.
Rabbi, can I ask a question? When the Gemara doesn't answer something, is it because they think it's obvious or they don't want to answer because they're not sure? And everyone has to do in the future whatever their abundance say.
I lost the question. What do you mean the Gemara doesn't answer it?
You said this Gemara doesn't answer the question. Why is she Tahar or Tameh?
No, the Gemara says there can be two reasons in the Brisa. The Brisa says that on the fourth week she's ushered to her husband. Right? The Brisa doesn't say why. The Brisa says she's ushered to her husband because she might be a Nida. The Brisa doesn't say why we're afraid of Nida. It could be one of two reasons. It could be because she never had a baby. Or it could be because she might have had a baby 7 weeks ago. The Brisa doesn't tell me.
But the answer is the same. Can't be with her husband.
The Brisa said she can't be with her husband. That's a fact. And the Brisa even tells us why she can't be in her husband, because it might be a Nida. The question is, why are we afraid of Nida? Didn't she give birth? Yeah. And if she gave birth, she has days of Tara. She can answer one of two ways. You can say maybe she didn't give birth to a baby with an air sac. Or you can say because maybe she gave birth 7 weeks ago and she's past days of Tara.
So it may be Dam Tohar, right?
Again, if it's Dam Tohar, she's mutter to her husband. Right?
Okay, thank you. Yeah.
Mazel Tov and Lechasim. Tonight, and Nikul Chasim. Okay.
Thank you.
Yes. Frank Tigamara. Lemutei Mai. So at the end of the day, what is Rabbi Yechonin excluding? You know, Rabbi Yechonin is not counting numbers. I have three cases. What are you leaving out? If you say you have three, that means somebody else might have found the fourth, and you're telling him he's wrong. What would have been the fourth case that you should have included, and you didn't include, and therefore you picked the number three? Right? Whenever an Amira comes and says there are three, that means you're trying to tell me three, not four. What is that possible fourth?
No, all these questions that we had
were to find the fourth. And we said that Rabbi Yechonin didn't count it.
Right.
Now, he didn't disagree with the halacha. The halacha was the same, except he didn't count it. Here we're trying to say, when is he saying that the halacha is not that we burn truma? When is he saying that you have a suffix and we don't burn truma? You understand what I'm trying to say? So the Gemara, Elaimer Lemute Ruba Dika Chazaka Bade, the lights of Fina Leia Satruma. Maybe you want to tell me that it's talking in a case that the Raiv goes up against the Chazaka. And when the Raiv goes up against the Chazaka, then we're not willing to burn Truma. We can have a case in a moment that happens. Raiv says it's Tameh. Chazaka says it's not Tameh. And Raiv goes up against Chazaka, right? We say, don't burn Truma. That would have been the case the Rabbi Yechonin's excluding. I'm only counting three, because in other cases, the Raiv goes up against Chazaka.
In a case of a woman of Chazaka now?
Okay, so let's step back. So the Rishayim speak out that the Gemara doesn't mean because of Chazaka, because in all these cases, it was a Chazaka. In the case of Rabbi Yechonin, with the case of the baby sack, it was also Chazaka and she was Tar. And in the case of the piece that came out, all those cases have a Chazaka. So what they say is that the Gemara is using that term to say that the Rive is not an overwhelming Rive. It's a weaker Rive. And when there's a weaker Rive, we don't burn Truma. not a strong majority, it's a weaker majority. No, chazaka means chazaka, but the Gemara is using it to say that the chazaka is there with a less significant majority. It's really a misleading term, I hate to use the word, but by the Gemara stressing chazaka, the Rishonim point out every case we had chazaka. So they say it's a weaker rive up against the chazaka. Dr. Ashi. Lemute mai. Gimu makaimus the kamer Reb Yechonah the mash mahani besuloi not more. Lemute mai. What is he excluding? The mishum rubel and nishav yekavada that we shouldn't make it like a vada. Ilayim lemute ruba betumazisha. Big chazak kavade. Kolayim kenegdam. The mara lo chazak leruba. The chazak against the rive. You have a chazak opposite the rive. The mara lo chazak leruba. The chazaka weakens the rive. The kasi minyana lemute, and the number comes to exclude, le'azrina b'ha mulsa, the basahu ruba l'shavya mulsa kavadai. We don't follow that kind of a rive to make it definite. The lights are for the truma da'ituma, and we don't burn it against that tuma. Meaning, if you would come up with a case, and again, the way the Rishayim explained it, with a weaker rive against the chazaka, we wouldn't burn truma. So Rabbi Yechon is saying we only do it in these three cases. In any other case, we wouldn't burn Truma because it's a weaker rive against the Chazak. But the problem is Rabbi Yechon has said that elsewhere. We have a rule. Rabbi Yechon doesn't repeat himself. Amiram don't repeat themselves. So if he said it elsewhere, that's not what he means here. If he meant that here, he wouldn't have said it elsewhere. Amiram don't repeat it twice. The concept that we have difficulty dealing with because we repeat ourselves all the time. But Amiram only said it one time. We don't quote two statements from an Amira that said the same thing. So you're telling me Rabbi Yechon said the number three to exclude cases where the rive is not so strong? Well, I have a case where the rive is not so strong and Rabbi Yechon says we don't burn truma. So he told us that rule, that when the rive is weaker, you don't burn truma. So why did he have to say it here? That's the Gemara's gosh. So the Gemara, Rabbi Yechon said it once already. He doesn't have to say it here. It's not. Tinei kanimtza b'tzara isa, u'betzik b'yadai. A kid is found next to a piece of dough, and he has a piece of dough in his hand, meaning he's touching the dough. Now we have a rule. Kids play around in garbage dumps. That's where they enjoy themselves. And in the garbage dumps are dead shrotzim. Now, we assume that the kid is tamei. He's holding a piece of dough now. Right? He's holding a piece of dough. And this is truma. This is truma. It's a piece of dough that is truma. Dr. Gemara, the mayor matar, the chachamim matamim. The mayor said you can consider the dough tar, and the chum say it's tameh. Why? Shadarkish or tunaikis tapeach. It is normal for kids to play in garbage dumps. Therefore, assume that the kid is tameh, and if the kid is tameh, the dough is tameh. Vamina, my time is the mayor, and we asked why does the mayor disagree? Sava ripe tunaikis metapchen. Yes. You have a majority of kids that play. But there's a significant minority, key word here, according to the Rishonim, that don't play in the garbage dump. And this Isa was tar beforehand. Put the significant minority together to the Chazaka. Isra Leruba, it cancels the rive. And therefore, we say it's tahar. Now, according to a mayor, the significant minority together with the chazaka are stronger than a rive. Rabbanon, they say miyuta kamando lasadami. Ignore the minority. We go by majority. We don't take into account the minority at all. But ruba b'chazaka, ruba adav. And a rive and a chazaka, rive is more. That's the machlokes there. Again, let me set up the case. a kid touches dough, is it tamei or tzar? Rav Meir says it's tzar. Rav Chanan says it's tamei. Rav Meir says it's tzar. Your majority, the kids playing the garbage dump, is a weaker majority based on the fact that we have a chazaka plus a significant minority. We go by the significant minority in the chazaka and we ignore the majority. And the Chacham say, no, you don't. The majority cancels out the minority, and it's Rav against chazaka, and Rav always wins. Now, what would Rabbanan mean? Do we burn the truma or do we don't burn the truma? We have this weaker majority. Went to the Rabbanan and cancel the minority. And we say, it's Tomei. We are by Rish Lakish, Shum Rabbeishia, Zui Chazaka, Shisarfin Alas Atruma. We would burn Truma on this Rav. Chazaka here means this Rav is enough to establish a definite. That's what Rabbi Shlokhi says. Again, the word chazaka here is being used. The Rav establishes a fact, and we would burn Truma. Rabbi Yechanan Amar, Ain't Zui Chazaka Shisarfin Alas Atruma. It's not strong enough to burn Truma because it's a weaker majority. Right, which means, but the Chacham says it's Tameh. He says it's a weak majority. So here's Rabbi Yechanan telling you, weak majority. Tameh,
though.
Yeah, Safik. A weak majority is not enough to burn. So what is he excluding? We thought he's trying to exclude cases of weak majority. He told us already somewhere else, that weak majority, we don't burn Truma. We will read this tomorrow and review it and go by.